Accession number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, reel 4.
Sergeant White, reel 4. Have you any idea what the height of the ground was at Razmak? What was the altitude there?
It was about 6,000 feet.
Did that give you any difficulties with breathing or
exertion? No, not at all. We still did a lot of sport and that type of thing out there. Had no trouble with it.
Did you go on any active operations while you were at Razmak?
Yeah, now once a month, we won't talk about the battalion, but as a brigade,
yes,
which the battalion was a part of it, we used to call them columns.
Yeah.
They had to go out there, we say, showing the flag.
Ah.
Wandering around the northwest frontier provinces, a whole brigade moving.
How many men would that be at that time?
Several thousand.
How many battalions were there in the brigade? Do you remember the other battalions that were in it at the time?
Well, there was a Gurkha regiment.
Yeah.
There was a Sikh regiment.
Yeah.
And I forget what the other one was. There was some rifle regiment, Indian regiment, though. There
yes.
was three other other Indian regiments there. There was also artillery in this case, with the what they call the pack artillery.
Ah, what, 3.7-inch screw guns?
Carried by mules.
Yes, it would break down into parts.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, all these would go out. Of course, a certain amount of troops had to be left behind in Razmak itself. But this used to be anything from a week to 10 days going out. And the band had to go out as stretcher bearers. And I went on every column, every month.
Did you enjoy going on the column?
Yes, in a way. It's a bit boring because you're moving a whole brigade on the same system it was when the battalion marched up to Razmak, are sending out these pickets all the time. And incidentally, the bugle major was always the last man in the brigade. And he carried a large red flag.
What was that for?
So the pickets would know that is the last man of the brigade. And once he passed them, then that picket would come down. They would rejoin then. Mm. But it was very, very slow marching.
What time of year would this happen?
This happened all the year round.
What, about once a month?
Once a month. Mm. Because I remember once we went out, mostly was no road at all, long riverbeds. So we couldn't use any carts or anything like that for carrying baggage. We had mules. In fact, we finished up with camels as well. And one night there, we was there. We no sooner got our evening meal, made our bivvies out of ground sheets again. And then it snowed. And it snowed, and it snowed all night. The bivvies just collapsed with the weight of the snow.
Did you have any special clothing to deal with the severe conditions?
Nothing at all. We were still in shorts and shirt.
That was all?
That was all. And you was wet and cold all night. And all we'd do was stand up around a smoky fire. Just praying for the morning to come so you could start marching again and warm up.
What was this pattern of marching? You said it was slow. Would you be marching in steady bounds, or were you marching in a sort of a random pattern? Was it stopping and starting, or were you
yes,
marching?
Oh, yeah, it was stopping and starting all the time. Perhaps you might march a mile and then stop.
Ah. Would that depend on what the picket saw?
Well, no, it was a case that I don't think they saw anything really, because we never, still never got fired on.
No one shot at you?
Nobody shot at us, but we still had to take this precaution of picking in all the heights around you that you had to pass through.
Did you see anyone wandering around? Who
yes, we often saw the old Bethan with his rifle, but provided he wasn't causing any trouble, we just left him. But he was no doubt spying on us.
When you stopped overnight, did you always have a wall around the campsite?
Every camp we do, whether there was a wall there or not, where we had to make one with all the rocks going around there.
We're building a sangha then all
yes.
the way around.
Mm. Mm.
Did you have any casualties to deal with on any of these marches?
No, not more than people got sore feet and blisters and that. And the only thing we had was potamine of potash, which you put in boards and people soak their feet in it.
Did that work?
Seemed to work. That was one what the medical officer passed on to us to do.
Was he with you or was he...
Yes, there was a medical officer there all the time.
How many of you would there be in the brigade column? How many stretcher bearers for the brigade?
Well, we was only the stretcher bearers for our own battalion.
Ah, right. So
the
how many of you...
The other regiments would have their own stretcher bearers.
Yes. How many of you in the battalion column then?
We had two stretcher bearers to each company.
Right. So there'd be about ten altogether. Because you'd have four rifle companies and a
headquarters, yes.
That's five companies. So.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you went? Had you any idea of where you were going when you went off on a column?
Not really. It was all... there was no roads or anything like that. No signposts.
Did you always go in a different direction when you
always.
Went off?
Always.
Do you remember seeing any substantial villages or towns or anything of that sort?
Not towns by any means. We saw a few isolated villages.
What were they like?
Very primitive. A few goats around.
So you, when you went on a column of that sort, I think you said it would take about 10 days or so.
Mm, 7 to 10 days.
7 to 10 days. Then what would happen to you? You'd come back to Razmak.
We'll come back to Razmak and we will then take up our normal band duties. But incidentally, this perimeter wall had to be guarded, especially at night time. And the band had to take their turn of guard duties at night time around this perimeter wall.
How were those duties organised and arranged?
Well, each battalion had a section of the perimeter wall to guard, and you would patrol up and down to the making contact with the next patrol that was coming probably from the other direction.
How long would your patrol area be, your stretch of wall?
About 100 yards.
How many of you would there be in the patrol?
There would be four, but two going in each direction.
Right.
And then and after 2 hours you'd be relieved in another.
How long would you have off then? You'd have 2 hours on.
And four off.
And four off.
Mm.
When you'd be just moving backwards and forwards all the time
yes.
during your,
that's
your
all,
time
yes.
off. Yeah. Did you ever see anything when you were doing
nope.
that?
The other thing I might bring out now, that first thing in the morning was a drill we had to carry out. The main toilets were outside the perimeter wall, and it was mostly made up of galvanised sheets covering the toilets there. And also outside the perimeter wall was quite a large stock of wood piled up for, because coal was practically non-existent there as well. And the whole patrol then with fixed bayonets and charged the latrines and putting your bayonet through every latrine wall.
What was that for?
In case there was somebody there.
Was there anybody there?
No, there wasn't, but in case if there was, they'd cut you to pieces. And then you know, after that, you go all around this wood pile with your fixed bayonets.
What was the threat they were worried about? Were they worried about possible sniping attack, or were they worried about theft?
No, I think they were as an attack on somebody. They'd be willing to sacrifice their lives to get somebody. But while we was there, I mean, we carried out this drill and nothing happened. So whether you got relaxed on it and something would happen, I don't know. But that happened every day, though.
So every day you were... And when you weren't on the column of stretcher bearers, then you'd be doing the normal practicing, would you, of musical practice? And
when we wasn't, yes.
Yeah, when
yes.
you were not out on a column, you would be doing normal band duties.
Band duties, yes. Mm-hmm. We still played at the officers' mess and probably the soldiers' canteen and that type of thing.
What sort of activities were going on in the officers' mess where you were playing? Was it formal dinner nights or...?
Yes, they still have formal dinner nights, yes.
How often did they do that?
Every week.
Once a week?
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on in the soldiers' canteen?
Soldiers' canteen still run by these contractors, very much the same thing again. There was a... The cinema was run by the army, more or less, up there, not by the contractor.
Right.
So that was a bit better.
What facilities did the canteen have?
Billiard and snooker tables. Not many of them. Just two or three for old regiments. Then selling just small refreshment things. Tea, it was all.
What sort of things did you play for the soldiers? What sort of music did they prefer?
Oh, anything light.
How often did you do that?
Oh, once a week.
So you had a concert in the soldiers' canteen?
Yes,
once a week.
Yeah.
And then you have a formal dinner in the officers' mess?
In the officers' mess.
What other occasions would you be playing?
There wasn't any.
So it's just practising?
Just
then.
Practising, yes. Mm. Trying to improve ourselves, I suppose. Of course, at least 1 week in the month we wasn't practising at all. We was out on column.
Yep. How many... Roughly how many men would be left behind to guard the camp when you went on a column?
But the whole camp?
Yes.
Oh, there must have been at least 1,000 men left behind.
Right. So that would be about, well, say a company or so from each. Would they leave behind a whole battalion to guard it? Or would they?
Sometimes a whole battalion would be left in there. Yeah. There was another guard duty out there, talking about this airfield.
Yes.
About a mile outside was a tower been built, and we had to keep a 24-hour guard on that tower. It was quite high, and to reach it, you have to have a ladder.
What was it built of?
Brick, stone brick sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Guard went out there for 48 hours.
How
when
many?
When the band got the duty there, we was all for it.
Why is that?
Well, you was out there and you took your own food and everything with you. And an officer with a patrol was supposed to come out once a day to see everything was all right. We're supposed to keep two... I'll be quite honest about it. We're supposed to keep two men on watch up the top there. But it was a waste of time. One man could do it. So what it was, we had a very good card school going.
How many of you would go out there at a time?
Oh, I can't remember. There was enough of 2-1-4 with an NCO.
What were you supposed to be looking out for?
Anything approaching the camp that's not supposed to be approaching, in other words. That was all. So if it was coming night time, we couldn't see anything.
It was just a lookout post.
Yes.
It wasn't anything to do with the airstrip.
No. Just a lookout place, though.
How far could you see from the lookout post, do you think? What's your distance?
Oh, yeah, we see quite some distance. We see right over the camp and then all around. Yeah, good observation, because it's... Weather on this plateau is quite flat. So I think approaching it today, we could have seen it.
Did you have field glasses or any other aids to observation?
No.
Just the naked eye?
Yes.
If you had seen something, how were you supposed to communicate it?
There was a field telephone laid on. That was the only thing.
Do you know if it worked?
It did work, yes. We did. I think twice in the day we had to, and once in the night I think we had it was connected with the main guard room.
So you had to report in?
Yes. Mm.
So you had a 1 year tour of duty at RASMAC, and I think the next place you went to was Dinapur.
Yes.
What was that like? How did that compare to RASMAC?
As stations go, a lot of improvement than what we had before.
What so, ways?
So, well, the point is that you could go into Dinapur, into Patna, without any trouble, no restriction.
Would this be your first real contact with the Indian?
Yes, you might as well say so, yes.
Mm. So you've been in India then, for about 5 years then,
yes.
Before you first saw anything of an Indian town.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm. What impression did it make on you when you first went into Dimapur and Patna?
Well, we were quite surprised that everything was more, I would say, civilised, what we've been put up with. The Indian population were friendly. We found that it was nice to have more freedom to go somewhere.
What sort of facilities did they offer you in
those
towns?
There were sort of clubs. There was the only female contact you had out there was with the half castes.
The Anglo Indians.
The Anglo Indians. Mm. Of course, they was always looking for husbands.
Had you been warned about that?
Well, yes, but during the years over there, or then and then onwards, quite a number of soldiers did marry.
Where did you meet these girls?
Well, they usually most of their parents were used to work on the Indian railways. And they had their own clubs where they would hold dances and that. Of course, the troops used to go along there.
What was the camp like at Dimapur?
Well, very much the same as what it was in Braley, with these same type of bungalows and all of that, they used to call them, widespread apart. Otherwise, it wasn't any different, the actual barracks. Was anything is what we say we could leave the barracks and wander around a bit more freedom and see a little bit more sociable life.
What was the climate like?
Humid there, quite humid and hot.
And what were you doing? What were your main activities while you were in Dinapur?
Well, once again, still the officers and troops getting our services. And also this time, used to get called to go to the governor's residence and play there. Because it was not so very far away, so we got called on there.
What sort of events did you play out there? What sort of?
Well, he would have a big social evening with the top British people and also top Indian personnel. Mm. Even the odd Maharaja or something like that could be there, and we would have to play a programme of background music.
For what sort of occasion did he have? Was it dinners or
just
or
general, I mean, whatever
whatever affair it was?
Yes.
Mm. Were there any other troops in the camp at Dinapur?
No, we were the only
regiment
there.
Did you do you remember doing any training for internal security duties while you were there?
No, not there. Later on, when we in Lahore, that came out, but not there.
Not at Dinapur. Dinapur was a peaceful place, was it?
It was quite peaceful, yes. Yeah. In fact, we I managed to get 7 days leave and went to Calcutta there. That was quite a change to see a big city in
What India. Impression did you get of Calcutta?
Oh, marvellous there, especially their great big covered market there where you could buy anything. Incidentally, I'd like to point out that the band partook quite a lot of sport in these days.
Yes.
As a platoon, we won all the cross-country running. And when we was in Razmak, we won the brigade cross-country running. We had a very good hockey and a football team. Nobody in the battalion could beat us at hockey. And these were all the same boys, joined up 14 or 15 years of age, now up in their 20s.
Why do you think it was the band was so fit and so good at games? Is there a reason for that?
Well, of course, it was always regiment always had made a lot of sport in the platoon or in the company. Because there wasn't a lot to do out there, and I think they did this on for a reason.
Keeps you busy.
Keep you busy, and also it kept you fit.
Yeah.
And also, might as well say, it made a team spirit as well.
Now, right about this time, it's coming up for 1936-37. Hitler had been in power in Germany for 3 years. There'd been a crisis in 1936 with the reoccupation of the Rhineland. Were you aware of that? Did you know anything
about
events?
Yeah, I was quite aware of it myself. Remember, we didn't have TV, and we did get English printed newspapers in India. Were quite good. Radios were almost non-existent. One or two chaps did have radios where they could get England on it. Most we use it for the Saturday afternoon football.
But you had heard about the news from Europe. Did you do you remember whether you had any ideas about what was going on?
Yes, I also suspected myself that there was going to be a serious trouble going to happen in Europe somehow or the other. I couldn't say form an opinion exactly how, but I had a feeling about it.
You could see the signs then in the news that you were getting in India.
Well, yeah, there was quite good news there. It was sort of neutral opinions on it.
Yeah. And what about in the Far East? Did you ever, at this stage, think that there might be a conflict with Japan?
No, at that time not.
Didn't enter into your mind.
Didn't enter it. Not in 36-37.
Then I think you went back on leave in 1937.
Yes.
How did you get back to England?
Well, myself and one other bandsman, who I was very friendly with, we were the only two in the band due to go back, which we were entitled to after 6 years in India.
Were you the longest serving then in India at that time? You'd been in India for the longest time, had you, at that
yes,
stage?
Yes, yes. After 6 years, you could have a free passage back to England. Now, you could either revert back to the battalion in England, or you take 6 months leave and come back to India. I had no ties in England, so I elected to have the leave and come back. We had one man in the regiment who'd somewhere or the other, he became very disturbed with fits and came very, very violent. And it was decided to get him back to England under escort.
And you were the escort?
And my mate, Nobby Clark, we was the escort. We had a reserve carriage on the railway, quite posh, in actual fact. And we had an Indian, what they call a subconductor. He was on the medical side, but he wasn't an officer.
He was a dresser, was he?
Yeah, so he was more like a W01.
Yes.
That type of thing. And this man was obviously drugged.
To keep him quiet?
Yes, to keep him quiet, because we had another 3 days on a train journey.
Did you know this man at all before you had to escort him back?
No, I had heard of him. I didn't know him personally. He came from one of the companies. He was a very big, well-built man then. I thought, oh, well, I heard it took him several men to hold him down when he had these fits. But obviously he'd been drugged, that it didn't happen. We took all our own food with us for that journey. And it passed quite peacefully, in actual fact. And then he was passed over to the medical people on the ship, and eventually finished up in the asylum in Bodmin, of all places, is where the depot was.
So he was sent back home.
Yeah, and several years later I heard that he died there.
So he didn't recover?
No.
Did you ever find out what was actually wrong with him in any way?
No, I didn't.
So you got to the coast. It was
obviously mental as well. I mean,
yes. And were there any other cases you knew of?
No, there's only one like that I'd heard of.
Yeah. So you got, and how did you get, what ship did you travel on when you came?
The boat? Dorsetshire.
The Dorsetshire?
Yeah, another awful troop ship.
Was it the same sort of system?
Same sort of system again. Mm. And when we got to Mediterranean, halfway between Malta and Gibraltar, we had a terrific storm. The ship almost turned upside down, I think. And we had married families on board. Of course, the women and children were separated in one part of the ship. And there was an awful mess. Everybody was sick and that. Of course, some people got detailed to look after them and clean up. And I was one of them.
Playing a good Samaritan role.
Well, that was it. In case we lost a day sailing over that, getting into Southampton, so it was so bad, the weather.
Did you go ashore anywhere en route, or did you on the ship the whole way?
No, stayed on the ship all the time.
So you arrived at Southampton. What do you actually do during your 6 months in England?
Well, I stayed with my friend in Liscard in Cornwall.
Was that the first time you'd been to Cornwall?
Yes. Well, that was when the Duke of Cornwall died. It was the first time I'd been to Cornwall. I stayed with him, with his family. It made me very welcome. And we enjoyed ourselves. He had three sisters. I didn't go out with any of them, anything like that, but they were all good sports, and we used to do a lot of cycling. Made girlfriends. In fact, towards the end of it, I got engaged to one of them.
What happened to her in the long run?
In the long run, her mother didn't really go for me. And before I went back to India, she broke it off.
Oh. It was a short engagement.
So that was that.
Was she a local girl in this guard?
Yes. Oh, I was quite keen on her. She was a lovely singer as well. Played the piano very nicely.
Why didn't her mother approve of you? Do you know why that was?
I think she wanted somebody better.
They always do. So you had 6 months, and you were staying in Liscard, and you were sort of going out and about and exploring. Did you get an impression when you were there that England had changed since you'd gone out to India? Because you'd been away for 6 years.
Yes.
Did you notice that there was anything that struck you as different when you came back?
Oh, I wouldn't say a lot, not for myself. Cornwall was so much different to me what London would have been.
Oh, yes. Different place altogether.
Different place altogether. And I like Cornwall myself. I took to it very keenly, in fact.
What appealed to you particularly about Cornwall?
Oh, no, the people were very friendly there. Although I was an outsider, they never treated me as such. I liked the country, wide open spaces and that.